I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to John chapter 5. And I'm glad we memorized just now verses 28 and 29, which are the very verses that we will be paying attention to in our study this morning. And here in verse 28 and 29, the Apostle John said, or had written what Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now we have often heard the saying, crime does not pay. And indeed, it does not pay. Thieves, robbers, cheats, kidnappers, murderers, all one day will be caught up by the long arm of the law. If not the law of the country or the nation, it will be the law of God. There will be a judgment of God to come. Criminals are punished for the crimes that they commit. There are consequences to the wrongs that we do. Murderers and drug traffickers in Singapore face the death penalty. And this tells us that there is a judgment to come also in the life hereafter. For our God is a judge, and he will judge us for the sins that we have committed in this life. Some people may escape their crime. And we also have committed sins. Sins that may not be punishable by the laws of the country, but nonetheless sins against God. When we hate someone, when we speak a bad word against someone, when we gossip, we backbite, we slander, we libel, well, some of these things that we do, we are not brought to the courts. We are not jailed or fined for that. Nonetheless, they are a transgression of God's law, the Ten Commandments. And one day, God will hold all of us accountable for all that we do and say that has violated His word. So, dear friends, the judgments of this present world tell us that there's a greater judgment in the future world. And in the future, the Bible tells us that there'll be two judgments, not one judgment, but two judgments. There'll be a judgment of sinners, and there'll be a judgment of saints. And this is found in the passage that we have just read. One day, there will be a resurrection, but we must be careful. We must know for sure that we belong to the right resurrection, not the wrong resurrection. For one resurrection leads to eternal life. Another resurrection, the other resurrection, leads unto eternal death. You want to belong to the resurrection that leads to life, not the resurrection that leads to death. Sometimes we think, oh, there's only one resurrection. No, there are two resurrections. One is a good resurrection that brings us to heaven. The other is a bad resurrection, a resurrection unto condemnation that will bring us to hell. And this is what we read here, right, in verse 29. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, please don't think that Jesus here is talking about salvation by works. Oh, if I've done good, then I will be in the resurrection of life. The doing good here is the believing by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate good anyone, any sinner can do, is to make peace with God. To tell God, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I confess my sins before you. Please forgive me of my sins. For I believe Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and on the third day rose again from the grave. Lord, have mercy on me and save me. That is the good work that is referred to here that will lead to the resurrection of life. And we know this from the context. For look at verse 24. Jesus says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, the holy scriptures, the good news of salvation in Christ Jesus, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life." If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe that God the Father has sent him into the world to die for the sins of the world, he shall not come into condemnation. He will have everlasting life and not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life and will be resurrected one day unto eternal salvation. So that is the good, right, that will lead, that we do, that will lead to salvation. For good works do not save. All our good works to God are as filthy rags. Please understand this. The only good work that can bring us to heaven is the good work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do good by believing on him, and then we are saved. If we don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and do that which is good, which is believing on his name, then one day we will face the judgment of God against sinners. So the first judgment is the judgment of sinners. And this resurrection unto damnation is spoken to us, not only here in John chapter 5:29, but also the book of Revelation. Turn to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in chapter 20. Book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So make sure you belong to the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection that will occur when Christ comes back. Those who are still alive, who remain on earth, who have not yet died, who believe on the Lord, when Jesus comes back, will be caught up, raptured, to meet him in the air. Those who have already died in Christ, their graves will be opened and they'll all be raised up with their glorified bodies to live forever with the Lord in heaven. That is the first resurrection, which is a blessed resurrection. There's a second resurrection, which is a resurrection not unto eternal life, but unto eternal death. All right? And let's look on, verse 11. "And that is a resurrection unto judgment at the great white throne. Verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." Now, this is the second resurrection. The sea will give up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they will judge every man according to their works, not their faith. These people have no faith. They have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be judged according to their works, and by their works they shall be condemned. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Those who belong to the second resurrection will face the second death, which is eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Judgment of sinners. So this tells us that there's no second chance after we die. After death is the judgment. No second chance, no reincarnation, no purgatory or halfway house, as taught by the Roman Catholic Church, where a person gets purged of his sins, and then once he's cleansed in this halfway house, then he can enter into heaven. No second chance, no purgatory, no halfway house, no reincarnation. After death, immediately we face our Creator. And we want to face our Creator not as our judge, but as our Father. He wants to be a Father of us all. And if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will be that. But those who reject Him will face Him as their judge. And who is this judge? Who will be the judge? Now, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 tells us who is the one who sits on the great white throne. In Daniel 7, verse 9, let me just read to you what it says. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. This judge is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. For John chapter 5, verse 22 and 27 tells us, For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all the judgment unto the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And what will man be judged for? He will be judged for all the sins that he has committed against God and against his fellow human being, his fellow men. No sinner can escape this judgment. John said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, And he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Those who have died without Christ, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a prince or a pauper, we shall all stand before this judgment of the great white throne if we die in our sins without the Lord Jesus Christ. A poor man cannot say, Oh, God, I have lived such a miserable life of suffering on earth because I was poor. Surely now I deserve the bliss of heaven because I had such a bad life, a poor life, a life of difficulties and sufferings on earth because I was poor. No, both small and great, rich or poor, black or white, male or female, whatever estate you were in your past life, if you die without Christ, you die standing before this judgment of the Lord called the Great White Throne. Neither can the rich man say, When I was rich, Lord, I gave a lot of money to the poor. I did a lot of charity. Surely all these good works that I've done and the money that I've given should count for something. I deserve at least a place in heaven, don't you think? God will say, Nothing doing. You will be judged not according to what you have done or who you are on earth. We will all be judged according to the book. And there are the 10 commandments that God has given to us. How many commandments have we broken already? God will go through His commandments one by one. And nobody can say He has not broken any of the commandments. In fact, the Bible tells us if we just break one of the commandments, we have broken all 10. And the books will be open, and we will be judged according to our works. And all our works to God are as filthy rags, even the good works that we have done. Why? Because many a time when we do good works, is it truly because of pure motives? No, many a time we do good works because of gain. Oh, we want the respect of man. We want fame. We want popularity. We want people to praise us. We want people to adore us. So we do a lot of charity. Why? For self-exaltation. The motive. and God will judge us. All the secrets in the hearts will all be revealed. The books will be opened. And what are these books? First, you have the book of words. We will be judged for all the words that we have spoken. The evil and the bad words that we have spoken will be judged by the book of words. Matthew 12, 36 to 37 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So in the book of Revelation, at the judgment of the great white throne, the books will be opened, plural. Take note of the word there. The books of judgment are the books, plural. There are many of these books, right? And the books will be open. Matthew 12 tells us there'll be a book of words. All the words that we have spoken will all be recorded down, and we'll be judged according to our words. By thy words, thou shalt be condemned. Jesus said also in John chapter 12, verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So if we are going to be judged by our words, then we must be very careful how we use our tongue. There's a saying, our tongue, the tongue that is 6 inches long can kill a man 6 feet tall. Our tongue is a deadly instrument, full of poison, deadly poison. So we must be very careful how we use our tongue, for every word that is spoken that has caused great hurt, harm, injury, any erroneous word, evil words spoken, they're all recorded down in God's book of words, and we are held accountable on that day. We may not be held accountable now. We may have gotten scot-free right now for the evil words we have spoken, but not on the day of judgment, dear friends. Not only the book of words, but there's also another book called the book of works. For we will not only be judged according to our speech, we'll be also judged according to our deeds. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, every work will be brought to judgment." Right. Take note, not some works, not most works, but every work that we have done is against God, against His word, will be brought in a judgment. And when our works are judged, we shall find that the works that we thought were good were actually evil, because we have fallen far short of God's standard, of God's glory. And our good works in the sight of God are as filthy rags, as Isaiah tells us in chapter 64. And Romans 3 tells us, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no such thing as a good man on the earth. Only God is good." Or every one of us were born in sin. We were conceived in sin, right in our mother's womb. And we were born in sin, and we grew up in sin. All of us will be judged by our sinful works. And Jesus said, "If you look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery already." And we are living in a highly seductive world today. Even our Singapore, our clean and green Singapore, is becoming quite a dirty place to live in, morally speaking, isn't it? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Now you have this, the bright lights of the integrated resorts that will come up, where there is this place of sin called the casino. No Christian should be found in that place. You may wear a disguise and go in, and nobody may recognize you, but God sees through, God knows. Every evil work will be judged. and now even in our newspapers, in our magazines, more and more half-naked women are being shown, paraded. What a terrible thing. We have to guard our eyes. We have to guard our hands. We have to guard our feet. And this fear of the Lord should so grip our hearts. We will fear God so much that we will not want to sin against Him. All right? And of course, not just fear, but also love. Fear coupled with love. I love my Father in heaven so much, I don't want to displease Him. That should cause us, and that should keep us in our life here on earth, keep us away from temptation, and to help us to walk in the narrow way and not the broad way. So know there are these books, the book of words, the book of works. And then there's a third book called the book of will. And that has to do with the motives, our heart. The book of will. This book deals with our conscience, our motives, and the secrets of the heart. And really, as Dr. Chia Yu-Ming said, the sins of the spirit are 10 times worse than the sins of the flesh. The sins of the heart. The sins of pride, for instance. And this is the most serious sin of all, because pride is that which leads to a fall. Pride is satanic, the pride of the spirit, where we rebel against God. When God exists, there's but one living and true God who says, no, God doesn't exist. I am God. Or money is God. A sin against God Himself. Sin against the Creator and His and the testimony of His creation. Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. There is such beauty and design and pattern and order in this whole universe that tell us there is a living designer who created this whole universe. It says, no, we're not created. We all evolved by chance and change, mutated somehow into what we are today. No, God, everything is by accident. And they rather believe in the lie. When the testimony of creation speaks so plainly of the existence of God, and you have this Archbishop of Canterbury, the head of the Anglican Church all over the world, when the tsunami happened on Boxing Day last year, and his interpretation was, and his comment was, we better now question the existence of God. That's a sin of the spirit, dear friends. And we will be judged according to the book of will or motive. Our heart will be examined as well. And man stubbornly rejects the living God who is creator. When the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, they would not believe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. They wouldn't believe in the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And men would willfully and stubbornly reject the testimony of creation and the Creator in His Word and blasphemes God. Not only do they reject, they blaspheme Him. For they turn God into a creature. They spell the name of God backwards. They call God a dog, D-O-G. And that's why the Lord says, those who rebel against him, who reject Him and blaspheme against Him. And today, a whole lot of blasphemy in the world today. A best-selling book all over the world. And today, it remains a bestseller even in Singapore, called the Da Vinci Code. It's blasphemy at the highest level. Will Dan Brown, the author of this book, escape the judgment of God? Yes, he can escape the judgment of God. If only he repents and writes another book to recant what he has said and humbles himself before the Creator, or else you can be very sure he will stand at the judgment of the great white throne, and the books will be opened and he will be condemned. Who changed God into a dog. Blasphemy. Did not Romans chapter 1 tell us this in verse 22? Professing themselves to be wise, they think they are very clever to write all these books against God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Yeah, they changed God into a creature. The creator, they changed into a creature. And the finally impenitent who rebel against God will not escape the judgment of God to come. That's for certain. The books will be open and they'll be judged according to the book of words, the book of works, the book of will. All the secrets of the heart will be revealed. And this judgment is a terrifying judgment. It will be eternal conscious torment in the lake of fire. Some people think that, oh, after a person dies, he just disappears. He's annihilated. No pain, no suffering in hell whatsoever. No conscious torment in the lake of fire. The person who has sinned against God will just be annihilated. Nothing can be further from the truth. Jesus himself described that hell is a place where the worm dieth not. That means it is eternal. The torment is eternal, where the worm dieth not. The worms that torment the souls of men in the lake of fire will not die. And this tells us those who are consigned to that place will not die either. They are conscious of that torment. And the fire cannot be quenched. Unquenchable fire will not be put out, will not be doused. It will last forever. And then the Lord said also that men will be weeping and will be gnashing their teeth. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, we are told that Satan and his demons will one day be cast into the lake of fire, the Antichrist and the false prophet as well, the end time world rulers. They'll be cast into the lake of fire, and all those who follow him, who have received his mark, who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be tormented, and the Bible tells us they'll be tormented day and night. Not for 1 week, not for 1 month, not for a year or 10 years, but forever. Eternal conscious punishment forever. Can you imagine that? How terrifying it is. And if you understand and appreciate, dear friends, the judgment of God to come, we would repent immediately. I don't want to go to such a place. All of us know, in the innermost recesses of our heart and mind, we are guilty before God. No need for God to pronounce the judgment. We ourselves condemn ourselves. Our hearts, in our hearts, we know we are guilty before God. And if you know you're guilty before God and there's this judgment to come and this terrible place where judgment will take place, you must cry out, Lord, how can I be saved? How can I escape this judgment? There's only one way. And that is to be found in the book of life. You don't want your name to be found in the book of words or works or will. You want to be found in this one single book, the book of life. For if your name is written in the book of life, then you will be saved. So how can my name be written in the Lamb's book of life? Can I write it on my own? Cannot. No man can write on this book. Only the Lord Jesus Christ has the power, has the authority, has the right to write your name in his book if you believe on him. And if you will just kowtow to the Lord and bow humbly before him, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I've sinned against you in so many ways. And please don't say, oh, my sins are so great, God cannot forgive me. No, no matter how great your sins may be, no matter how many sins you have committed, the blood of Jesus Christ can wash you away of all your sins. The death of Christ on the cross and the precious blood that he shed is very, very powerful and can cover all your sins. But if only you will confess your sins and tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me and save me and wash away all my sins and come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior." If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A free gift! And then when you pray such a prayer with full of sincerity and full of humility and contrition of heart, Jesus will save you, wash away all your sins, and clothe on you his white coat of righteousness. His righteousness, not your righteousness. And then he will apply his pen, dip in the ink of his blood, and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, which can never be erased. Permanent ink, not even permanent, eternal ink. His blood. So that when the Book of Life is open and your name is found in it, you will not stand in the Great White Throne judgment. The judgment of the Great White Throne is not for believers. It's for unbelievers. Believers will stand before Christ in another judgment called the judgment seat of Christ. That's the second judgment, which is a good judgment. This is a judgment that we don't want to be in, the judgment of the Great White Throne. But all of us should desire to be in Christ's judgment called the judgment seat or the bema of Christ. And we read about the bema of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We want to be those who are resurrected unto life, not unto damnation, right? The resurrection unto life will bring us to the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 10, we read, "For we must all appear..." And here Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, to the believers, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." And here the judgment seat is one word in the original, bema, the bema of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ. And in those days, in ancient days, the bema is a raised platform where athletes are crowned for their victory. Right? It's usually found in the stadium. And so all the runners will compete. And then the champion who has won the race will be crowned. And he will ascend to the bema, to the judgment seat. And there he will receive a wreath crowned upon him. So it's prize giving. So the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment unto damnation, but a judgment unto salvation or rewards. It's to do with rewards. A prize giving day in heaven. And that will occur at the bema of Christ. But in heaven, when saints or believers are judged, please do not think that everyone will be equal or everyone will receive the same. Yes, everyone will receive the same salvation. Right? If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Everyone receives this precious gift of salvation equally. No such thing as a person is more saved, another person is less saved. Everyone is equally saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. But insofar as rewards are concerned, there are those who have more. There are those who have less. There are those who may not have anything at all. Paul himself said, when we serve the Lord on earth, make sure that we build upon the foundation of Christ, which is our salvation. When you serve the Lord, make sure you build upon that foundation. Gold, silver, precious stones. Right? Not wood, hay, and stubble. For on the judgment day, at the judgment seat of Christ, at the bema of Christ, all our works, all our services, not our salvation security, all our services to the Lord will go through the fire. It will be tested what kind of service we have rendered to the Lord. If it is of gold, silver, precious stones, of course, when it goes through the fire, it will be purified and it will not disappear, all right? Not be destroyed. It will remain. And then we will be rewarded accordingly. But it is of wood, hay, and stubble, when it goes through the fire, all be burned up. You want to be rich? Don't be rich on earth, be rich in heaven. We can be rich in heaven. And the only time we can be rich in heaven is right now. To work for it, to serve the Lord right now if we want to be rich in heaven. This is the only time we are given to accumulate our riches, our treasures in heaven. And if we serve the Lord out of gratitude of heart, with pure motives, not for self-gain, but to glorify the Lord. Lord, I serve you not because I want men to see that I'm serving you, but I want you to know, Lord, that I love you. I'm indebted to what you have done for me by saving me from my sins. Whether people see me or don't see me is not the point. Whether people praise me or not, I don't care. I serve you because I love you. And you serve not because of envy or strife, but you serve with sincerity, with honesty, with integrity, with truthfulness in the heart, with gratitude and love for the Lord. And the Lord takes note. And then he will credit into your account these riches, gold, silver, precious stones. There are some who may be serving the church, serving outside of church. They say they do this in the name of the Lord. But inside, they may do so out of envy and strife. They preach out of envy and strife. I want to be a better preacher or more popular preacher than Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yew. I prove myself. This is my chance here, you see. I have that in my heart. Envy and strife. That'll be, yes, I may be preaching. I may be preaching the truth. But God, will I have any reward from the Lord? The Lord knows my heart. Wood, hay, stubble, all will be burnt up. And that's why the Lord says, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. It could be that many full-time servants, because they serve with wrong motives and wrong motivations, they serve really to build their own empires. In the end, they may do a lot for the Lord, but the Lord knows the heart. They may end up with nothing. The first shall be last. For example, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all these religious teachers in the nation of Israel, they may do all these religious works, but they count for nothing. They'll be last. But the leper, the blind, the lame, and they believe on the Lord, now they'll be first. And in a Christian context, at the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be those in the full-time ministry. They may have done the Lord in their life, but they may be placed last because they have not served rightly. But those who are members in the pew, ordinary members, and they are not in the limelight, they serve the Lord in their own ways, they serve the Lord out of love, they may be in the front and be rewarded even more. So take note, be careful, watch our hearts, how we serve the Lord. Examine our hearts all the time. The heart is very deceitful. We must check it very microscopically, that we not sin against the Lord even in our service. For if we do, yeah, no rewards in the future. Wood, hay, and stubble. Take note of this. Then you say, then in heaven, not such a happy place, isn't it? Because if we are going to suffer loss, how is it going to be a happy place? Well, generally, all right, it will be a happy occasion. Someone has likened the judgment seat of Christ, the time of the judgment seat of Christ, like a graduation ceremony. I wonder how many of you attended the 30th convocation or graduation service of FEBC about a few weeks back. Well, the whole atmosphere is that of rejoicing, a happy atmosphere. And we have all these graduates, and some of them graduate with honors. Some don't graduate with honors. Those who have done very well graduate summa cum laude, with highest praise. Right? Then the next is magna cum laude, with high praise, high honors. And then some with cum laude, with praise. The rest all graduate with thank you, laude. Well, you just graduate. And of course, there may be a tinge of regret. Oh, some who don't graduate the honors, how I wish I had spent more time studying and not be so lazy. All right. There may be a tinge of regret. But generally, the whole atmosphere is one of what? Happiness and rejoicing. They'll graduate nonetheless. So in heaven, it's like this. Okay. And God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. But the important thing is, you must make sure that you will graduate. In order to graduate, to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, you must be enrolled in God's school, the school of Christ, which is none other than the University of Life. You must be enrolled in God's Bible College, in God's university. How to qualify? No need your O-levels or A-levels. They are useless. The prerequisite is also not your degrees. Whether you have a BA, your MA, or MBA, or PhD, they don't count. These qualifications cannot get you into the school of Christ. The only qualification you need is, are you a sinner? If you're a sinner, you qualify. And you say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. That's all I have. And I want to enroll in your school because I don't like to be a sinner. I want to have my sins cleansed. Wash me, train me, and help me, guide me in your school. And yes, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you enroll in this school, then God will change your life, all right, and mold you and make you more like Him until the day when you see Him face to face. And there's only one Savior, one Lord. If you say you're not a sinner, you cannot qualify. You better look for another school. And I tell you, all other schools lead to hell, not heaven. You must be enrolled in the school of Christ if you want to graduate in the university of heaven in the days to come. What does the Bible say? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only one name. Jesus is the only name. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Is anyone still outside the school of Christ? You're still not registered. You're still not enrolled. I pray you may apply to enroll today. If you are still not a Christian, apply to be a Christian. Just confess your sin. Lord Jesus, please save me. And then your name will be registered in the book of life. Then you begin your journey, your study, your training. And the Spirit is your divine teacher. And He'll guide you into all truth. And He will finally lead you to the very end. Will you not register? I'm calling on all unbelievers here. The Lord has brought you here into this church, not by chance today. And the Lord wants you to enroll, wants you to enroll and apply to study in this school. Will you not do so? May the Lord help us. There are two judgments to come. The judgment of the great white throne, which is a judgment unto eternal death and damnation. Please, don't be found in this judgment. It's a judgment of the Bema seat of Christ, judgment of rewards for service done to the Lord after we get saved. I pray all of us may be found in this good judgment to come when we see the Lord face to face one day. And I believe that judgment will come soon, seeing the times, the signs of the times. May we be ready. May we be prepared. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, forgive us, Lord, of all our sins, and help us to order our lives aright before Thee. And even for us who are believers, who are Your children, Lord, we pray that we may continue to walk in the straight and the narrow way that leads to life, to serve You, to worship You in sincerity and in truth. For those who are still outside thy kingdom, O Lord, bring them in. May thy Spirit convict their hearts and cause them to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For all these we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.